The Leach Report Radio Network presents Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Now, with Larry Vaught and Anthony White, here's Curtis Birch.
Welcome back in to Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Curtis Birch, Anthony White. We're live from the Clark's Pump and Shop, downtown Lexington. Bo Robinson back at the studio. Larry Vaught via the phone. Talking, of course, about Kentucky football's victory over ULM. I'm pausing there, Larry, because I don't know if you read their media notes, but that's what they like to be called. They're okay with Louisiana Monroe, but they want to be called ULM, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't quite get it, because I don't think if you just say ULM, very many people know on first reference what you're talking about. So I know I kept referring to them as Louisiana Monroe on my first reference when I was doing any writing or talking, then ULM after that. But I don't really know what they're thinking for why they want to be ULM, but also saw that Louisiana, was it Louisiana Tech that this wants to be known as Louisiana now?
Something like that, yeah. And there's who are the Raging Cajuns, Anthony? That's Louisiana Lafayette. Yeah, I think they just want to be called Lafayette, right? Or are they the one that want to just be called Louisiana?
I think they're the ones that just want to be called Louisiana. I think you're right about that, yes.
There we go. Okay, so there's a lot of football schools in Louisiana.
Who's Louisiana? Loyola Marymount? Is it Loyola Marymount University?
Aren't there two of them? Isn't there one in California and one in?
But it's not University North. Of. It's not University. Of
I
Loyola
don't know
Marymount.
Where the. I don't know where the university is on, for either
ULM.
Of those schools. Yeah, get a little confusing there, but
I had to go back and check out Louisiana Monroe because I was thinking, was that the university that Bobby Boucher played for in The Waterboy? But that was actually University of Louisiana. So I was confused too.
So now, that makes all the sense in the world. The Raging Cajuns are trying to claim Adam Sandler. That's why they're trying to be Louisiana.
Okay, gotcha.
That maybe. Tom Leach was making the point during one of the breaks about how the school has gone through a few name changes through the years. And he thinks, Larry, do you remember how many times these schools have faced each other? This was, I want to say, four or five maybe. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. I'm not exactly positive that's about right.
And I think technically they've gone, if you count them wanting to be referred to as ULM, for this game, that was their third name change. Because I think they had a directional school name the first time Kentucky football faced them. Went to Louisiana Monroe, of course, in the middle there, and now they want to be ULM. So, random facts nobody needs to know.
Here's a random fact that people should know, that we played Louisiana Monroe. We played Northeast Louisiana, which is in the 90s that was their name.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, okay. That's what Tom was talking about the first time.
Yeah, and we beat the dog out of 49-0, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now I always tell people, we beat the dog out of them, but they were hitting us. It was hurting. They were tearing. Some of the harder hits besides Mississippi State came in that game, and that's why people say, well, they're not good. And it made me think about two of those hits that Wandale Robinson wasn't so tough and as good as he is, two of those hits that they put on him would have put an average man out of the game. Mm-hmm. So when people say, oh, it's just Louisiana Monroe, those guys were playing football. They were on scholarship as well. That's so I just want that to be known.
Very factual. Let's get to the phone lines. Anthony, you got somebody on there for us.
Larry requested that we call, since we haven't talked about the defense yet, Larry requested that we get a guy who's played defense at Kentucky and is from Louisiana.
Oh, double dip.
So we get all the way around. Van House, how are you doing?
Exactly. Thank you guys for having me on. Look, don't talk about my Louisiana teams. The reason why they changed is because they wanted to get the three acronyms like LSU. So a lot of these schools have three acronyms. That's just how it is. And Louisiana Lafayette is the University of Louisiana right now. That I don't know why they took that moniker on, but they did. And ULM was Northeast Louisiana. So instead of having Northeast Louisiana, they're ULM.
So the University of Louisiana represents the whole state of Louisiana. That's what they're trying to do.
So for some reason, Lafayette claimed that moniker because they what happened is Louisiana, University of Louisiana didn't want to be called ULL.
That is.
So they took that moniker on and it stuck. The thing about it is it stuck. That's the crazy part about it.
All right, so we're gonna allow you to tell us on Saturday's game. We pretty much talked about the offense and what we expected. I think defensively, after the first 5 to 7 minutes, I think we saw what we expected. What did you see from the defense? Did anybody surprise you? Did anybody not live up to your expectation?
The one thing that surprised me was J.J. Weaver getting back on the field so early and falling out. I mean, I guess blowing out your knee is just a thing now, and you come back better and stronger and quicker than ever before. But I would say this. A lot of people saying the defense started off slow. If you watch the game, we had in that first drive 2 3rd and 13s. We had a 4th and 20. We had a 3rd and 7. We had a 3rd and 4, and we jumped outside. We had a 4th and 20, and we had a penalty with hands to the face. Defense came out, and they played well. We just snake bitten on a couple of things. They ran a couple of routes against great routes against coverage, and we had a couple of breakdowns with a couple of young guys in the game. All in all, I think the defense played great. Watching it and then looking at the numbers, it speaks for itself.
Did you think some of the younger guys got out there? I know you and I had a discussion about Jaquez Jones and whether he would be taken over by Wallace or who would get more playing time. There was probably edge toward Jones, but it was close. It was a lot closer than I thought. Did one of them make a push that you going forward think that, you know, I prefer to see more Wallace, or you think Jones should stay in the starting spot?
Jones should stay in the starting spot. Like on that first drive, there was that, I think, 3rd and 7 pass across the middle where Wallace took the wrong drop. There's little things that he needs to get accustomed to, but it's best to learn on the fire and get it on film and then be taught and trained. I think Jones is more solid, more stable, especially next week against Mizzou. However, Wallace is a beast against the run. He made some great plays in the run game. So I think they should rotate too. I'm going to tell you someone else who had a good game in that position is Jared Casey. I saw him flash a couple of times. So I don't think the linebacker, I know a lot of people thought we had a little depth issue there, but I think those four guys played very well.
Tell me, do you think at the D-tackle position, and if you watched it, you didn't even have to watch close enough. Did Oxendine, did he impress you or did he impress you? You can choose one of the two.
Mark, look, I'm going to say this, and don't get on me when I say this. He might be a mini Pascal, and they double up the numbers. He's 8, Pascal's 4. his motor. See, I played with a guy at the Bears who was not the most talented, but his motor kept him playing and kept him in the game. Ox motor is equivalent. I won't say equivalent. It's on the level of Pascal, and his motor is getting him to flash on plays because he's running all over the place. I don't want to say that like he's like his head's cut off, but he's running to the ball. That'll be a bet. He is running to the ball all the time, full speed, just like Josh does. So Ox flashed. I saw Hayes flash a little bit, and of course Bully did a great job. I'm the depth that we finally have SEC talent depth 3-deep in the front. I know Stu is just elated.
And on the back end, I want you to answer two of the questions. Yusuf Cork, they asked for more. Did he give us more? And what did you notice in the defensive backfield that might have stood out?
I don't know if Corker can give you more than what he's already done. You know, I'm the the first president of the fan club, he played his normal, steady, solid game. And the guy whom I like, and I was saying maybe he might lose his spot, is Valentine. And with the defense that we play, and if you get a scholarship to come to any D1 college, you have athletic ability. One thing I like for corners, and maybe I'm a little old school, is Valentine's willingness to stick his head in the run game and make hard tackles. I like that. I like seeing him come up and support the linebackers and defensive line on the run game. And when a receiver catches the ball in front of him, he's going to pay. I really like the way he does that because all the guys can cover. Come on, if you're a corner in D1, you can cover. But that aspect of his game is something that I love.
And I'm going to ask you this. As much as I'm a little scared maybe to go into the offensive side and ask you questions since you've been so long removed from offense, and I don't want you to make me look bad, there's a rumor going around this show that I'm a Will Levis hater. You may agree or you may disagree. So within your answer, let me know if you agree or you disagree. But also, can you speak on what you saw from Will Levis and do you – an answer for me and the people listening is what we saw from Will Levis is that Will Levis came in this person, or do you think there was a huge percentage of it that may have had to do with the change in offense, quarterback coaching and such, or do you think Will Levis made all this change to the offense by the person he is, his skill set?
Now, I'm going to say this. If the listeners have listened or watched us on the locker Wednesdays, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I understand why they might say you're a hater. I'm not sure you are a hater. I think you're apprehensive because you haven't seen Will play, and what you've seen from Will was from Penn State, and that wasn't as impressive as you would have liked to see for a guy to transfer to here and then to not automatically, but to get the starting position for our team fairly quickly. The thing about it is it's hard to go by that because you haven't seen it. But the thing about it is if Coach Cohen and then specifically Coach Stoops signed off and signed off on the deal of him being a starter, they saw something in practice pretty quickly that was obvious, and they named him a starter because they saw it in practice. What he did this weekend was exceptional because he had a little adversity earlier. He laughed it off, said, man, look, that was just a fluke play, and came back with a bomb to Wandale, and then bomb after bomb after bomb. So with that, I think he played great, and I like how Cohen called the game. If you look at the game and the flow of the play calling was on point. And he got his guys in position to make plays. He called the right plays at the right time. And I don't care if he's playing a high school team. You still got to call the right plays. And it was a nice flow to it. And I was very impressed with it.
And we have about a minute left. I don't know if Larry has a question, but I know we got about a minute left. But I wanted to ask you this. I've been speaking a lot about it, but his eye influence, is Will Levis's eye influence, is that something that comes with him, or is that something from coach, or is that something that had to be taught or learned, or do you think that's something he just has, like, you know, Peyton Manning and some of the greats have?
I think it's more from him. All I've read from him, he has a very high IQ. That deep curl route to Epps early in the game, I think that was his first completion, was all manipulating the linebacker with his eyes. But once I saw it on the first completion, I'm like, okay, he's got something that we haven't seen in a while. And that was impressive.
All right. Larry, if you have any questions, I know we got to get to break, but.
No, I'm good. I appreciate you calling and educating us there a little bit, Van. I was especially interested to hear what you had to say about Jones and Wallace at the linebacker. I think the good thing there is that Wallace is very content to learn from Jones and soak it up and isn't a guy that, you know, has to demand that I'm the number one guy because he understands he's got to learn. I think that's going to be a really good thing as the season goes on for Kentucky.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like Wallace. Okay, guys, I know you're heading up to a break. I appreciate you guys letting me call in.
Thank you. Van Isles, former UK football player and Anthony's co-host on The Locker. Follow on Twitter at TheLocker411. We're going to get to a break and continue to talk football after this. I'm Curtis Birch with Anthony White, Larry Vaught, Bo Robbins, and this is Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Welcome back in to Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Curtis Birch, Anthony White, Larry Vaught, Bo Robinson. Thanks again to Van Isles for calling in, talking about some defense. Let's go back to the phone. Dick from Dayton is on there. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, Curtis. Good morning, Anthony. Good morning, Larry. And good morning, Bo. Happy Labor Day, guys.
Same to you, buddy.
Well, Curtis, I think next week, I think I called up and told you Bengals are going to win 7 to 8 games. I think the Reds still have a chance for the playoffs. What do you think?
I agree. Agree with the Reds part, disagree with the Bengals. You're lowballing them there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just thought that and also I'm going to be going this week to the mall. One of my friends hairs me up there. I'm going to get me a Kentucky Wildcat basketball sweatshirt, Curtis.
Well, grab a football one, too, because they're rolling right now.
Yeah, but I thought I'd check in, okay?
Good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. One and only Dick from Dayton. Larry, talking about the defense with Van, I think one of the other things that this defense really has going for them is the experience. The seniors were making a bunch of plays. I'm just going to roll off some of these, and this does not include all the seniors. DeAndre Square had 6 tackles, including 3.5 tackles for loss. Jordan Wright, 6 tackles, and a career-high tying 2 tackles for loss. Josh Pascal led the team with 7 tackles. Yusuf Corker, 5 tackles, including his first sack and a pair of pass breakups. Devontae Robinson also had a good game. I mean, the defense was dominant after that first drive. Looking at the total stats from ULM, they had a net rushing of 17 yards and pass for 7D. So that's playing good defense, Larry.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what they have, I don't have my stats in front of me. 14 tackles for loss, was it, Curtis, if I remember correctly?
Let me find it here. Let me get to the scroll down to
either 13 or 14. And however many, I think there was 8 different guys, I believe, that had a tackle for loss. And for a team that last year really struggled to have plays like that, and again, I don't care if it's against ULM or whoever, you still made them. And that really impressed me that they had that many different guys with the capability of making those plays.
Yep.
And I know Yusuf had his first quarterback sack, which was a big deal. And I've got to admit, I went back and looked again. I just had forgot how highly rated he was coming out of high school and all, and what a terrific player he's becoming. And again, he's been so reliable, I think you kind of take him for granted almost. But I think he had, did he have a pass breakup yesterday? And just,
2 of them.
It just seemed to me like he played really, really well. I know Van wasn't as impressed as I mean, I don't think he was unimpressed, but he wasn't as impressed as I was, and I certainly respect everything about Van, and maybe just because we had Yusuf on, I was paying more attention to him, but I just think he's a terrific, terrific player, and I thought he had another great game, but a lot of them did, so I feel really good when you start 10 seniors on defense, they play that way. I mean, I think I feel a lot better now because of what I saw on the defense and even what I did on the offense.
I tend to agree. We'll get to a break, and Larry was right, 14 total tackles for loss amongst 8 guys. We'll get Anthony's thoughts on the defense after this. Curtis Birch, Anthony White, Larry Vaught, Bo Robinson. This is Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Welcome back in to Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Curtis Birch, Anthony White, Larry Vaught, Bo Robinson, all with you here today. Talking about some Kentucky defense. Interesting stat I'll share from the Twitter feed that I just read in a minute, but we need to clean a couple things up because we were having an earlier discussion about Louisiana Monroe wanting to be referred to as ULM, how they used to, what was it, Northeastern, Northwestern? What were they back when you played
Northeast
them?
Northeast Louisiana.
Northeast Louisiana, and now they're Louisiana.
What were they back when you played them?
Back in those olden times. But we got a tweet in from UK John who said it was like Memphis State dropping the Memphis and just being Memphis. Well, that's kind of true, but, I mean, they were just correcting a wrong because Memphis State doesn't make any sense. Memphis isn't a state. That doesn't make – That sounds
true.
Silly. And then you were asking about Louisiana or ULM. Would that be confused for Loyola Marymount? And Kyle tweeted in, and I said there are two Loyolas. There are two Loyolas, but only one Loyola Marymount. There's a Loyola in Maryland, in Baltimore. Kyle let us know. He calls them a lacrosse school. Loyola Marymount University is in Los Angeles. That they were, of course, famous because of the Hank Gathers, Bo Kimball. There was an awesome 30 for 30 on that squad and everything it went through. But Loyola Marymount University, so they're LMU. So, not confusion.
What about Loyola Sycamore?
Bishop Sycamore?
Yeah.
That was something, wasn't it, Anthony?
Yes. I was going to wait to the end of the show to tell you guys. I'm probably going to be leaving.
I just wanted to hear how Loyola Sycamore would sound together.
Bishop,
that's all.
Bishop, yeah. Anthony White is no longer going to be with us. He's going to miss next week because he's got to go watch his nephew. I'm using air quotes. Anthony, he's going to see if he can get any eligibility with those things. That was a heck of a story. I think the funniest part to me was when the kids from IMG Academy released their video of them all dancing around, and the caption was, "When you beat a bunch of 30-year-olds, 49-0, or whatever that score was." What a whew! Speaking of 30 for 30s, hopefully that fake high school gets one because it was something. But switching gears back to UK football. We need to get Anthony's take on the defense, and I'll set you up by sharing this stat that John Clay just tweeted out. He's from the Herald Leader, of course. UK is number one nationally in total defense, giving up just 87 yards on Saturday. Of course, I think there's a couple games left to be played this week, so maybe if Ole Miss can't move the ball since Lane Kiffin is out this week, maybe they'll go lower and Louisville will be number one. But right now, as it stands, Kentucky's number one in total defense. Buffalo coming in number two. They only ate 97 yards in their game. So, brag on the defense, even though you're an offensive guy.
There's no surprise there. I mean, Josh Pascal came out and did what we thought he was going to do. Boogie, I kept an eye on him to see what he was going to do. I should have asked Van. I had a huge problem with him last year, and I talked to his position coach. I had a huge problem with him last year getting up and doing the Dikembe Mutombo, the finger wag, and your 7 yards in your defensive backfield. That wasn't good, but I was looking for him. He's absolutely mature. Moore's taking on the double teams. He has the motor. He's trying to still get to the ball and make plays, even though he has a double team on him, and that's that next level stuff. I'm with Larry on my man Van. I asked him about Yusef Corker. The coach has asked for more. I think getting his first sack alone, which you're the back end of the defense, you coming up there because you are the safety net. So if you get in there, you
literally
better make
the
a play.
Name of his position.
And if you come off the edge and the way he got the sack, like the guy had, he could have flipped it to if the quarterback was savvy enough, Rodriguez. If he flips it to the running back, he gets out of that sack. So he gets there, gets the quarterback down, which is tough to do, is extremely tough to do. So I think Yusef Corker gave us more as we requested. I was impressed with some of that young defensive front. I think Abule played pretty well.
Abule Fitzgerald.
But the one I kept looking, I kept seeing number 8 getting off the pile. And I was like, he's a little bigger than the linebacker. Who is that? Because Oxendine hadn't played a lot, and he was just around the ball. He does have the motor of Josh Pascal, and I think if he keeps working, he could get to that level. The one thing, and I thought Josiah Hayes played well for getting him as many reps as he got. But I wish there was some way we could get J.J. Weaver and Jordan.
I think they will.
Okay.
Once Stoops is fully comfortable with J.J. Weaver's health, Larry, don't you think that that'll be the case, that we will hopefully, in the upcoming weeks, see both of them on the field at the same time, because I can understand why Anthony wants that tandem, because both those guys can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely, but I think Mark is doing the right thing. I mean, I'm not sure, I thought J.J. would be back able to go full speed in game one, so I think Mark is trying to be cautious. Let's see how he does game one. Let's don't overuse him. Let's see how he comes out of the game. I think you'll see him on the field a lot more this next game just from listening to Mark after the game, Anthony.
Yeah, and I think the limited play he had, he was impactful in the limited play, and like you're absolutely right. I think you kind of monitor how he recovers from this week, you know, and see if you can give him a little more. Maybe you feed him a little more. And if he comes off of this week when he shows up at training today or tomorrow, if he shows no ill symptoms or from the playing time, then you may be able to up the numbers. But I just think that's too much talent to keep both of those guys off the field.
Yep.
And we talked about it coming into the season at the defensive back, especially the safety position. We have so much depth. We can do so many things that other people in America can't do. Mm-hmm. I think with having J.J. and Jordan Wright, I think you having both those guys on the field, you're not giving so much up on the coverage, because I think they're both athletic enough to get in the curl flat. But I also think if they decide to come off the edge, now you don't know if he's going to drop. You don't know if he's coming. And if they come, as you saw yesterday, both of them, they're going to wreak havoc. So I love that.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. And, I mean, we've talked a lot about Oxendine, and deservedly so. I think he's going to – I'd probably pick him to be like the breakout star by the end of the year, mainly because not because the other guys aren't going to play well, but as Larry pointed out, you have all those seniors starting – so it's tough for them to break out. I mean,
right.
We kind of know what those guys are. And the other guy who's going to get a ton of playing time, who will have great stats, I think, now that we've seen him, is J.J. Weaver. But being a all-SEC freshman last year, I don't think that he can, quote-unquote, break out either. So that's why I'm kind of keeping an eye on Oxendine as a guy who I think is really going to just do a ton. And I think Big Bully up there, he'll be one where he's going to be really impressive, but I wouldn't consider it a breakout, because we kind of have had a heads up to that with camp, and I think it was obvious that the coaches thought he was going to have a monster year when he got named as one of the captains. Let's go.
You're speaking of monster names. You know what else is a monster name?
What's that?
La Terrain. La Terrain is an attractive, inexpensive brand. La Terrain is designed to attract their popular models such as the Compass, Legacy 2, Navigator, Red Crest, which is my favorite, Rose Silk, and the Voyager 1893, the Larry Vault of watches. La Terrain is a brand out of Charlotte, North Carolina, with a versatile watch collection and fashion accessories. Go to LaTerrain.com and use the code SMST at checkout for 10% off of your order. That is La Terrain.
Bluegrass Track tweets in, it sounds way cooler when Anthony White says Josh Pascal than when I do, but that goes for pretty much everything I say as well. On the Twitter feed from Trey, throw this to your way, Larry. He points out two of Kentucky's best weapons on offense are transfers that were used incorrectly at their previous schools, Will Levis and Wandale Robinson. I mean, you look at it, the kind of irony of those things is both those guys were almost used as running backs, even though, of course, Will was a quarterback and Wandale was a receiver at their previous schools. And now they're being able to show what all they can do. And, you know, we've talked a ton about how great they have been and they were in that first game. But spinning it forward, Larry, with the transfer portal, what it's going to be, showing that you can get guys in good positions and to show off their full talents can only help in recruiting those transfers going forward.
Absolutely. I think Wandale, again, I'm not downplaying what he did. I just think I saw him so much in high school and I have such big expectations for him, but I just think what he did was just kind of what I thought he could do. It's kind of one of those guys you think is going to be really good, and he was really good. And I think that's the kind of games he can have a lot of, or else he's going to command a lot of double teams. A lot of other guys are going to be able to have big games because of that. And Will, to be honest, I just didn't know enough about, kind of like what Dante said, I just didn't really know enough about him to know what to expect. But after he threw that first interception and came back the way that he did, I was really, really impressed. Now, what I don't know, one of the other transfer there, Rosenthal. I'm assuming, Anthony, he must have been pretty good because I don't remember noticing anything about him. And usually when you don't notice about an offensive lineman, that means they've been pretty good during a game.
Yeah, flying beneath the radar is absolutely fine at the offensive line position. But I did want to piggyback on what you said about Wandell Robinson, and you're giving him no type of respect at all. But I was really concerned about him coming into an offense where the expectations were so high from a recruiting standpoint, from Big Blue Nation standpoint, and just from a team standpoint. The defense gets frustrated after a while going out there and three and out or playing the whole game, pitching a shutout, and the offense is not moving the ball at all. And I thought there was a lot of weight put on before Will was even in the equation. I thought that there was a lot of weight being put on Wandell's back. You know, him coming back home, him expecting to push the offense, and I thought that would just be a lot to be a new guy coming into a locker room. And one thing that you're saying, you're not surprised. You didn't say you weren't impressed. You said you're not surprised by what he's done because you've seen him do it before. I'm surprised at how cool he is doing it. Like, he doesn't seem nervous. Those touchdowns, he expected. He took some big hits and kept going. He fumbled a punt, fights like heck to get the ball back. And it's just that, like, the guy just seems unwavered. And my concern with him coming into the season was, I hope there's not a lot of weight and expectation on him where it makes it hard for him to, you know, deliver, and it stresses him more than he needs to be stressed. But he didn't look stressed at all while he was putting up the numbers that Larry thought were just average day at the office for Robinson.
Well, that's the same way when I used to watch you play, Anthony. The numbers you put up, it never would surprise me. You just kind of expect those out of players. And again, I guarantee if we had Wandell on here, I don't think he would say that he thought he was exceptional yesterday or anything. I think that's just what he expects to do and why he came to Kentucky to have a chance to do that. And I think that won't be the last 100-yard game he'll have this year.
I would agree with that. I mean, with the way they look like they're on the exact same page, I think that there's more of those on the way from Will Levis to Wandell Robinson. I can't wait to see him all season long. We're going to get to a break. After this, we're going to read more from the Twitter feed. If you have any questions or comments, hit us up at Sunday AM Sports. Coming up at 11 a.m., we're going to talk to Max Duffy. You won't want to miss that, the former UK punter. I'm Curtis Birch with Anthony White, live here at the Clark's Pump and Shop, downtown Lexington. Larry Vaught via phone, and Bo Robinson's making the show happen and back at the studio. And this is Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Welcome back in to Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk. Curtis Birch, Anthony White, Larry Vaught, Bo Robinson with you. Let's switch the attention to next week. We've got some tweets about the Missouri game coming up next Saturday. Lacey asked, will payback be a factor after last year's loss to Missouri? Anthony?
Yes, I think there will be a little bit of extra motivation for that game. And I asked Van, and I thought I asked you guys, I thought there was something around the game that either an administration at Missouri or the atmosphere, there was something that was, I felt like, was disrespectful. I thought there was background noise, and because, you know, we filled the stadiums with noise.
No, I remember that.
There was something that was irritating about the atmosphere.
Wasn't that was the game, Larry, where it was like whatever music they were playing, and obviously last year with the COVID year, there was artificial noise was allowed to kind of get some kind of atmosphere at stadiums, which were at decreased capacity. But it felt like Missouri's was kind of taken to another level. Am I remembering that right? Or there was something weird on the broadcast too, right?
Yeah, I think so, because Anthony went on a rant the next morning. I remember that. Anthony was on that immediately. And it was also the first game that John Schlarman went with the team.
Yes.
And I think that was just a difficult all around. And it was just a clunker for many, many reasons that Kentucky threw in. And I know you can't play for revenge and all that stuff, but I just have to think that the older guys on this team will remember that game for a lot of different reasons, and that should help their focus be even sharper this week, and that'd be, a game they really would really like to win. Because I don't know about you, Anthony, but it always seems to me that Missouri kind of wants to act like it's got a little bit of swag or cool to it, like that they, maybe not that they're not Alabama, but they kind of think they are. And it just seems like it's always kind of a chippy game. So this is one I certainly want to see Kentucky win.
Well, Larry, I don't know if you can blame them. Their first 2 years in SEC, didn't they win the East with Pinkel?
Yeah, and they've cycled through two coaches since then, right?
Well, Pinkel recruited me at Toledo, so he's smart. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah. But no. So I think that's kind of why they kind of came in here thinking they ran something, and by the time the SEC caught up to what they were doing, it kind of changed things. But I think there's a little extra motivation, which meaning I think the players are going to play hard no matter what. But I think there will be a little sour taste in their mouth about the way things happened last year. And I also think Stoops may not be willing to, take his foot off the gas, knowing that, Liam's a younger guy, he's trying to show his offense off and give you another week and let you know last week or this week that just passed wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think the edge is going to be, that Stoops may say, go for it on fourth and two this time. He ain't going to let the crowd influence him, which I thought that was pretty cute. He was going to go for two. The crowd all gets hyped, and he takes a second thought and says, well, I am on the 48-yard line, so maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Missouri, they hate Kentucky because of C.J. Conrad. I mean, they're never going to – they still claim as that was a bad call that gave Kentucky that untimed down there to get that win. So that's where I think some of their – hatred comes from. And Larry, you almost, what you were saying earlier about their like swagger and confidence, that's exactly what Jeff Pecoro said on the broadcast yesterday, which was kind of, it was actually I think it might have got an audible gasp from Dick Gabriel in the post game, because Jeff was talking about how he goes, everybody knows that team down south that wears the ugly orange is a team that I don't like, and they're my least favorite, but Missouri might be my second least favorite team in the whole conference. And that's when...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he said similar things about kind of just the, I don't know if it's arrogance, overconfidence, whatever you want to label it, but that's the vibe that he gets from the matchups that he's been around, Kentucky versus UK, and there is like a little... It's that rivalry kind of that gets built when two teams are trying to battle for that, position in the SEC. I mean, think back, South Carolina and UK had that going for a bit there, and Kentucky had got that winning streak going, has had major success against the Gamecocks, and that one's kind of, tampered down a little bit, but it seems like Missouri, Anthony, is the one that thinks they should try. It's the team's trying to ascend to the top tier of the SEC East, and Missouri thinks they should be doing it, and Kentucky thinks they should be doing it, and I think that's where the headbutting happens.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think that's what it is. I think Missouri doesn't respect where we've come from, and we respect where we've come from. We're not looking back, so I don't know. They were, and another quick note, they were 1-3 on third down against Central Michigan.
Yeah, Van Hiles was talking, when caller talking about how next week we play against an SEC school. Van said, look at the long passes that Missouri gave up against Central Michigan. They gave up a 48-yarder, 28-yarder. 39, 27, 27, 29. So they gave up quite a few long passes. We got Max Duffy coming up after this break. Curtis Birch, Anthony White, Larry Vaught, Bo Robinson. This is Stockyards Bank Sunday Morning Sports Talk.